Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday! I hope that you have had the most amazing week. Listen, there is a lot, and we're going to get through it. There is a lot to talk about. This week came in hot and is not for the right reasons, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. If this is your first time tuning in to Conversations with Toy, welcome. I am Toy, your podcaster. I'm also a content creator. I'm a blogger, freelance writer, do a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats, along with being a wife, as well as a wonderful mother to three amazing children. So welcome. This space I hope you will find to be uplifting. Sometimes we have to have hard conversations when we're talking about things that are just happening that we just can't, you know, go past. We also always talk about, I say we, but it's me. I also talk about things like mental health and wellness in almost every, not even almost, in every episode, because it's the mental health and wellness conversations that we need to have the most. Some people shy away from that because sometimes it's considered taboo, even with all of the conversations surrounding mental health, even with the acknowledgement that mental health does exist. There are still struggles in the mental health world, and I hope to shed some light to those conversations. Today's episode is going to be pretty heavy, so I'm going to go ahead and give that disclaimer. I also want to give a disclaimer that we will be talking a little bit about politics, because there's no way with all the things that have taken place that we can kind of go bypass that. It literally, not just because it's the talk of the town, not because of the inauguration that just went past, but because what's happening in politics is going to shape a lot of our lives. And so it would be a miss for me as also a political science major to kind of bypass that. Don't worry, we won't make it too, you know, too weird, but we want to give you the facts. We want to give you the information. We want to make sure you understand. We want to have conversations about it. And how does all of these things affect your mental health? What are we thinking? What are we feeling right now in the midst of all of this political mumbo jumbo, all these conversations that are being had, all of these news interruptions, all these decorations, all of the things? I want to talk about it, okay? First of all, let's just get right into it. Trump is now our president. Like it, love it, or not, he is our president. And with that being said, there are so many things that come along with that. First of all, I'm going to be quite honest. I did not watch the inauguration. If you listen to last week's episode, you're fully aware that I didn't. I said that I wasn't, and I did not. I don't know what happened outside of some clips that I may have saw on social media with pastors that's praying and, you know, biting off, you know, MLK and saying all these things and sounding real swelling words. But when it came down to making MLK's, Martin Luther King Jr.'s words match what was happening, it just did not line up. And again, these are clips. You might say to yourself, if you didn't watch the whole thing, I have no reason to speak out. However, regardless of whether or not I watched it or inauguration, because I wasn't about to give that some airtime, that's just my personal preference. You may feel like that's not you. And here, I'm not here to change you. And at the end of the day, I'm just not. And at the end of the day, I feel like regardless of differences, there's just certain things we have to have conversations about. With the inauguration, it went and it came, it's gone, it's now president, you know, he is doing his thing. He went in literally hours, not even a full hour or so after everything was over and done with. He went straight into writing in executive orders. All these executive orders just went down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I personally, at the age of 43, have never seen as many executive orders in one president at all. I've never seen that. Like, I just have never seen it, right? And so to see that many happen and then to see that many happen in a day, I said, my God, what is happening? Okay. What is actually going down? You know, there were so many. But let's just talk about some of these. One of the first things he did was with the immigration and U.S. borders. I mean, Trump made it very clear that he was going to clean them borders up. He was not letting immigrants in. He was not allowing any of that. So he stopped it. He suspended the program literally on the same day. There were some people who were at their appointments or going to their appointments to try to get their status. They had done it the right way, the legal way, and he still stopped it. The devastation that went down after that, some of the videos that I've seen was just hard to watch. He also wants to redefine what is birthright citizenship, okay? Because under the 14th Amendment, okay? And a child born in the U.S. who is not a citizen, but the mother is or doesn't have, if the mother does not have legal immigration status, but the person was born here in the United States, that's considered a birthright citizenship, right? However, Trump is like, nah, we don't, no, none of that. If your mama wasn't a citizen, you're not a citizen. We're not doing any of that. Thankfully, a judge has temporarily blocked that. So we'll have to see what will happen to that. He wants to forbid the phrase of like catch and release. You know, normally we would catch someone if they're trying to come in and then you would just release them. We're like, no, we're not doing that. We are not doing any of that. So there's a lot. Let's continue going through the line. He also wants to end the concept of parole programs. This allows certain family members of certain citizens and permanent resident immigrants from like Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela to come into the U.S. while their visa pass applications are still pending. So he's like, nah, we're not doing that. He also is sending ICE to go in and gather up all the people he believes are immigrants that are here, they're in here unlawfully, and he is bypassing the protection of churches and schools. So that's what he's working on. That's what he did. Those are the executive orders. There are so many more. So let's go through a few more. He did ban or pause the ban on TikTok for 75 days. Now, I know if you were like me as a content creator, TikTok is not my main page. I'm just going to say that one more time. TikTok is not my main page. It is just not. However, I do enjoy my good scrolling time. Fridays is usually my TikTok scroll time. And it got banned a couple days ago. And I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna sit up here and hold and act like I wasn't having a little mini crash out. Because it's like, you know, I said to God, you know, what kind of person am I become if I'm allowing this app to really dictate my emotions? But I ain't gonna sit here and act like it didn't. I was like, Lord, what's we gonna do? Again, even though TikTok is not my main page as far as do I make enough money to be like, oh my God, if we don't have TikTok, I'm not gonna be able to feed my family. That's not the case. However, I do enjoy it. So of course, he did that. He suspended our participation in a global tax deal. Climate control, you might as well just wrap that up by noon. It ain't gonna be no more of that pretty soon. So many others, including the 1965 Employment Discrimination Act. So that's done with. So many things has happened with all these executive orders. I could go through the list. There's plenty more. Trust and believe. There are plenty more. But the ordeal has caused such an array of emotions. You know, I have been watching a few people crashing out. And when I say the word crashing out, we don't mean in a car. Crashing out just means losing it, okay? Just so we can use that term for the rest of the time that we're going to be on this podcast or this episode. And then we all understand what I mean by crashing out, okay? So I've seen crash outs happening on both sides. I've seen people who said, you know, I voted for Trump, but this is not what I signed up for. These things are also hurting me. And now I feel like I'm getting caught in the crossfire, which also says a lot. Because if you're saying, I feel like I'm being caught in a crossfire and this is not what I voted for, that means that as long as it didn't touch you and it touched all the other people that you, I guess, feel like you had the intentions of touching, then it would be okay. But because it touched you, now you're having a problem. There really is no other way around that. That is what people are saying. You know, as long as it touched so-and-so and it didn't touch me, as long as it did so-and-so, but it didn't touch me, it just seems as if that is what people are more concerned about. And again, everybody has selfish motives in life. Everybody does. So it's just, I know that, again, people get so worked up in their spirit when you start talking about politics, because they say there's no room for politics in conversation. We should just let everybody do what they want to do. Nobody is stopping anybody from doing what they want to do. Let's be clear. No one is stopping any one individual from doing what they want to do. No one is having and coming it down at anybody's neck because someone chose something over another. It literally has nothing to do with that. What we are simply saying is that the choices and the things that are doing, that are happening right now, is literally affecting so much. It's literally affecting. Everything that's happening right now is all lined in Project 2025. You remember the Project 2025 that Trump said he had no idea what was going on? And that's not his plan. It was the plan. We all knew that was the plan. Anybody who had, and I don't mean to be rude, I guess I really don't care at this point because it is what it is. I don't understand how much reading is so fundamental. We need to go back to the old landmark. Get back to the old landmark where we just simply read. Some of us, we lack because we're so visually stimulated by videos and short clips on social media that we forget the art of reading. Now, I know as a writer, the only reason why I'm a decent writer, unless you know why I'm a great writer, is because I'm a great reader. And reading has nothing to do with just being able to regurgitate words. Reading is the spirit and the application of comprehension. When I read out somebody's plan, and if you look at it, you can literally put check marks on all the things that have happened thus far. We haven't gotten to a week yet. We have not gotten to a week, and all hell has broken loose in almost all different areas. DEI is gone. And I'm just going to break this down because I know a lot of people say DEI is for black and brown people, but I'm going to just break this down for you. DEI literally goes for anybody that is not a white male. Hear me clearly. DEI protects anyone who is not a white male, because you can talk about women being part of DEI initiatives, black and brown, of course, because that's all everybody wants to, you know, they want to put everything on and stamp on is black and brown. We're talking about people who have disabilities, all kinds of different pregnant people. All of these things have all benefited people who are in a DEI initiative. We have only labeled it black and brown, black and brown, black and brown, but it's not just black and brown. And I want y'all to do your research. Again, could it be that I'm a political science major by trade in college, that I learned all these things, that I studied all these things, that I got tested on these things, that I know how to apply all these things, but basic comprehension, if you would just read. Now you could take that how you want to, get offended, get in your spirit and your shanana and say, I can't believe she said that. I'm gonna say it again. I'm gonna tell you like my mom used to say, I'll add more to it before I let you play me about it, okay? The end of the day, DEI is not about black and brown, okay? So now we have the inauguration. We have him in the office. He gonna do what he wanna do because that's what he gonna do. He's showing you better than he can tell you, like my mama would say. She would always say, I'll show you better than I can tell you. That's what Trump is doing. Everything he said, he's just marking it down. And he's going to do as much as he can with as much power that he can with that. He wants to show you. He's not playing what he calls games. He's not playing games. He's going to do whatever he can do to get America back to being great again. Being great again means being white again. Whatever's going to benefit white male who also are wealthy and rich, white male. Literally tech companies. We got Elon Musk leading the charge, doing Nazi signs and saying, that's not a Nazi salute. I'm sorry. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck and it eats like a duck and it tells you I'm a duck, it's a duck. Now, y'all can tell yourselves that it's some special salute, that that's from his whatever. But if you do your research, a lot of the things he grew up around was, like, I believe in South Africa, one of the parts of Africa. Don't quote me because I need to write that particular part down. But what that part that he's from, or he had a lot of access to as a teenager, that mess comes from him seeing all that stuff. That ain't nothing but a bunch of foolishness happening right now. But what I saw him do was definitely a Nazi salute. Now, if you want to tell your eyes that that was not a duck, and in your spirit you feel that's not a duck, then God be with you. Because everybody else saw a duck. Everybody else heard a duck. We saw a duck. We saw it eat like a duck. It told us it was a duck. It's a duck. Take that with a grain of salt, but that is just what it is. Now, in the midst of all this turmoil, we got to call Nelly. Gotta call Snoop Dogg. We gotta call Rick Ross. We gotta call Soulja Boy, who I don't want to say I don't care about. Because if I put Soulja Boy in there, I gotta put Rick Ross. Rick Ross, Soulja Boy, I'm like, you know, Rick Ross is somebody who stole somebody's identity and then made a whole lifestyle around it. Like, can we really fault a man who could steal somebody's identity and then all of a sudden he's a boss? Boss of what? Boss of stealing? Boss of fraud? Because that's about what it's giving. Rick Ross really, it's not, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and I guess I can pick and choose just like everybody else. We pick and choose what's best and what we want to go with. So I'm going to say Rick Ross is not high on my list. But Snoop Dogg and Nelly, the conversations that Nelly gave as to why he decided to perform at the inauguration. He performed at an inauguration, and I believe Snoop Dogg performed at the Crypto Ball, which was before the inauguration or during the inauguration weekend. These excuses of like, Nelly was like, Trump is not a racist. He's not a supremacist. He's not a part of supremacy. He's not this and that. And I'm like, Nelly, shutting up is free. I know. I hate to be that person because I don't like to say that about people. But truth is truth. Shutting up is free. His excuse is ridiculous. You know, he even in his song, we were all like, people were been playing clips of it. I think it's Country Grammar. And he's like, let me in now. Let me in now. Bill Gates, Donald Trump, let me in now. He in now. He got his wish. He finally got in. He has been trying to get in because, of course, those people at the time when that song came out represented, you know, money, represented all the things. But that doesn't make Trump any less of a racist. That doesn't make Trump any less of a supremacist. Like, it doesn't stop all those things. And to put injury to insult, I know if I was Ashanti, I'd be hot as fire. Now, unless she's undercover and truly believes like her husband, who am I? She could very well, and we just don't know it. I want to serve notice to everybody that's listening to this podcast. I want you to get to loose yourself of these people because you're going to see far more people get in line than you'll see people who are going to make a stand. Some of these people that y'all call or we call our idols, people that we look up to, people we were like, I would never believe. I think at this point, we need to get to the point of believing. Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe them. I want y'all to go ahead and believe them. I want y'all to put our good aunt sis of Maya Angelou with her words to fruition because that's where we are right now. I need you to go ahead and put your hands up and receive it. These are the things that are happening. So now everybody's like, we're boycotting Snoop, we're boycotting Nelly. But it's interesting when Chrisette Michelle did it a couple years ago, they drug her for filth. She done lost a baby behind this, all the stress, lost endorsements, lost money, her marriage failed. She had a lot of stuff happening because of this one performance she did for Trump. And in her mind, she was putting everybody together. I don't see y'all dragging not one Nelly. I mean, y'all are making conversations. It's like we're having conversations, but y'all not really, really giving it to her. Chrisette Michelle couldn't even put her baby toe out on the social media without somebody dragging her. Nobody. Like, I just wanted to hit them in their pockets. Nelly just came out with Apple Bottom Jeans line. Y'all gonna buy it? Because I'm not buying it. And I used to look with them Apple Bottom Jeans. That's not his song. Because get it right. I know my rappers. That may not necessarily be his song. But he now has the Apple Bottoms. And he wants everybody to purchase them. Are y'all gonna purchase them? I'm not. My money, I ain't got it. Not for that. Okay, so we just have to make these definitive answers about what it is that we're going to support, how we're going to show our disdain and support. And again, not to be or allow ourselves to get into the position where we don't recognize and realize the severity of the things that are going around. The next 4 years is going to be tough. We haven't even gotten to the first week and we're already like, Lord Jesus, help us out. Help me out, Jesus. What are we going to do? We're going to have to figure out how to get some resources together. I said this on my TikTok. So if you're following me on there, you may have seen some videos. You may have seen a slew of videos because I've been doing a lot of videos lately and just making sure that I give out as much good information about what's happening. Now, that may have curtailed and gone, you know, completely different of my normal content. Like, well, where's all the Philly things? Where's all this? With it? Like, I'm going to get back to it. But I can't act like we can just jump past some of these things that's going on and just get back into the flow. I personally cannot. I will get to it at some point. I'm just not there yet. And so we need to find ways to showcase resources, but also vetting those people that we give the resources to, because it is a lot that is happening. People are losing their jobs. Federal workers have to get back to work 5 days a week. Some of these places don't have enough space to put all these people in. I don't know what's going to happen with that. They have a hiring freeze for federal companies or federal positions. That's crazy, because a lot of people who work in the federal positions and different federal agencies are overworked, underpaid, and their loads is already long. That's why they were trying to bring in more people. But I've seen people get their stuff rescinded, which means they got the offer and they're like, sorry, Trump said wrap it up, not today. So now that's what's happening. So, yeah, that is, we just got to get buckled up. So we got Nelly, we got Snoop, those two out of the four. I'm just like, y'all, I don't understand where we went left. I don't understand how we went there. I don't understand why we're doing this. I don't know. So since the TikTok has now an extension, which means that it won't be banned for another 75 days, I believe, there's still no real answer as to what the final will be like. They could come back and reban it again. You know, are we going to have a second crash out? Are we going to just be like, it'll be back now that we know that it's going to be, you know, it went and came and came in, left for 24 hours this last time. What are we going to do? What is the move? How are we going to handle this? What are we going to say next? All of the things. So I'm not sure. I can't tell you what is going to happen. What I can say is that, you know, I am working on making sure that these apps don't take all the things. And I want to remind people to get your own website, because the website, unless you don't pay your bill, unless you don't pay the bill to keep your website up, then that would be the only way that something can happen. Or like, there's times when things do crash on the internet. So we get that 100%. But for the most part, you want to be able to control and get ahead of things to where you can control things, because you want to be able to own what you do. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I have had my website forever and a day. And so it's been extremely easy for me to be able to put things up that needs to put things up, take things down that needs to be taken down. Because again, you want to make sure that you're just taking care of whatever it is that you can take care of. Now, let's switch over to a few things. How has your mental health been with all these different changes? I'm going to be honest. My mental health has already been improving, but not because of these things. With these things, I have found I've had levels of anxiety. I was talking to my therapist the other day. I intentionally put my therapy positions or appointments where I needed to put them, because I wanted to be strategic. Like, what are my thoughts going into all these different things? And I knew it was going to be a show. So my therapist and I were talking about, you know, he calls it unpacking the backpack. And that just means like finding a safe space where you can feel comfortable to say all the things that has happened or is going on in your life. And so I was unpacking my backpack with him, and we were just talking about just life. And I was sharing with him some of the changes that I have been making, with making sure that I get that extra quiet time in the morning to get up and read my Bible, to get up and pray in the morning, to really dedicate myself for that. And just making sure that I do it in the morning and at night, so that I have like two different devotions for that. And really just been focused. But then in the midst of that, like, I have been feeling a spirit of uneasiness. Like, I felt uneasy. I was feeling anxiety. And it was because I knew that this wasn't going to be good. And so every day that these announcements have happened, every day when something has gone left, every moment that something else has popped up, my anxiety levels have fluctuated along with that. So I have been asking God, like, really praying about the why. I get the why I'm feeling anxiety, but what are some ways that I can control that? What are some things that I can do in the spur moment? Because you can't run to the nail salon just because you're having anxiety and feel like, okay, this is my self-care for the moment to get my nails done, and that's going to make me feel good. So I've been really asking God, like, what are some of the immediate things that I could do? And it's like, when you read something, instead of reacting, take a deep breath. Read it, take a deep breath. Take another deep breath, and acknowledge it. Okay, I am reading that this is happening. I am not a fan of this. This has potential to cause, you know, XYZ harm. I think being honest about what the harm is, because sometimes we may get worked up about certain things and be like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And the reality of it is that what is actually happening? Sometimes our bodies and sometimes our minds, sometimes our spirit tells us that something is happening that's worse. And it doesn't mean that the bad is not bad, but sometimes we feel like certain things are so much worse than what they are. So it's like calling out what it is and being honest about the flow. Okay, we saw this announcement. This announcement means that this is going to happen. We don't know how long this change is going to take place. And if this happens immediately, what is the reality of what that's going to do for the people that I love? What's the reality of that's going to do for my personal household or for my personal situation? Okay, once we come to the realization of what that's going to do for my household, what's that going to do for my personal situation? What's that going to do for my community? What are some of the things that I could do right now? Even if it's nothing, but I can't do anything now. I feel powerless in this moment, but I want to take the time to acknowledge it. I want to take a deep breath. Maybe I don't want to react so quickly. Maybe I just want to see and kind of let this kind of figure out and let it get into place to see what that's going to do. Maybe instead of going, like, for instance, the other day, I was feeling so anxious and I was like, oh my gosh, I got to make sure all of our birth certificates in one place. We got to make sure we put my will in the same place. Now, normally I would have already done these things, but what I've noticed is there was an original folder that I had when I had my oldest daughter, right? And in that folder, it had her birth certificate and like all her hospital things. And then of course, after I had my son, I put his things into that folder. Then when I had my daughter, I thought I put those things into the folder and discovered that they were not. So that drove me a little bit crazy, because a few months ago, before Trump had come into office, I was telling my husband, like, we need to get all these documents. Let's put them in the same place, because I have some things on my side. He has some things in our safe. And it's like, if I have stuff on my side, but we have certain things in the safe, then he has another spot that he puts some more emergency papers or papers that we need, important papers. That's three different spots that we're not having documents at. Let's try to find a way to put this together. But in the midst of me looking for this a few months ago, I could not find my youngest daughter's birth certificate. So now you're hearing about these ICE, you know, agents coming into these different places. And reality of this is that even being a Black person, I'm like, what if they think that we're Haitian or something and they want to round us up too? And we need to make sure the kids have their birth certificate in their book bags. And we need to make sure we keep our passports on us at all times. And we need to do this and do that. And the fear came on me immediate fear. This was literally the other day. And so I'm going in my mouth. I was like, oh my gosh, remember we couldn't find her birth certificate and we got to order one. I forgot to order one. And now if I order one, it may not come in. I think it was going to come in like really like the second week in February. So I'm getting anxious. I call my husband immediately because he was out with my son. And I'm like, we got to find this baby's birth certificate. And immediately he was very calm. He didn't like respond. He responded, but he didn't react. He responded, and he didn't react, which is a difference. And so he's like, listen, how about instead of us just ordering one, how about we just take another look? Immediately attitude from me. Immediate attitude. I was like, nah, we need to find that baby's. We need to order that baby's birth certificate. She can't be the only one that doesn't have one. What if this happens? What if that happens? And he was very calm. He didn't respond. He responded, but didn't react. And he's like, why don't you just go right now and go check before we buy or purchase a birth certificate? Because if we don't need to, we don't need to. And you may find that you found it. Now, mind you, I told you, I'd already started this process months ago. For whatever reason, I could not find that child's birth certificate. Now, I know we've had it because every one of my kids are in school and they had to have all those items to get into school. And my kids also changed schools. So it can't be like, well, you know, you had it back then. Maybe you lost it. None of that. I know that they've had to have it because they've changed schools in the last 3 years. And then my daughter went to high school. So we've had school changes. So I said, okay, I was hot. I ain't gonna hold you. I was hot because all my mind was, no, I want to do it my way. I want to order this birth certificate. I want to make sure my child is going to be okay. God forbid she's going to go to school. You know, the worst. She's going to go to school tomorrow and an ICE agent going to pull up on them. And then she's not going to have her paperwork and they're going to take her or they're going to take all of the kids. It would just turn into a whole thing. So it was like, wait a minute. You are having an anxiety moment. The anxiety is overtaking your thoughts. You're not thinking logically. You're reacting, but you're not responding in a way that's going to bring a solution. So I went upstairs. I shut the door to my room so that nobody would see me. Like, I wouldn't want my daughter to see me having that moment. So I went into and I opened up the side where my stuff is at. Went through it, couldn't find it. Saw my birth certificate, saw I think my oldest and my son's and my husband's, but not the youngest. Went to his side where all his stuff is, went through the folders. Guess what I discover? There's another set of birth certificates, meaning I have multiple sets of the other two, and I have multiple sets of hers, but all of hers was in that one folder. So I guess I must have had a copy, he must have had a copy, and that's why they were in two different places. It's just that he ended up having all of the copies for the youngest and I had the copies for the two oldest. Nonetheless, we have the birth certificates. My husband was still on the phone with me while I looked because I was so stressed out. He was like, I'm going to stay on the phone with you. I want you to take your time, take a deep breath, look through it. We ended up finding it. And that's when I came to the conclusion. That's how anxiety works. It is telling you something that isn't maybe, it could be a possibility. But when you have to weigh it out, does that really mean that that's going to happen? Or is that just the way that you're feeling? Is this a real feeling or you're just going through your emotions? And sometimes emotions are great. They can protect you. They can warn you. They can lead you into, you know, thought processes that you need to have. And then there are times when those emotions mixed with anxiety can cause a problem. Thankfully, my husband was patient with me. We discovered where it was. We now have all three, multiple copies of birth certificates, multiple copies of, you know, baptism records, multiple copies of all the things that our kids have done or things that we have done that we now have in its proper place together, not in three different places. And so there's the win. But that's how anxiety can come on you. It's no different than if you have an anxiety with test taking, which I had as a kid. I got straight A's from second grade on all the way through high school, but it was the drama and the anxiety that I felt. Also, I felt anxiety as I was completing assignments. I was in the IB program, which is the International Baccalaureate, which means that you take and do the same curriculum as all these kids in these elite programs all across the world, not just the States, the world. At the time, my high school was one of the only ones that had the certification to do that at their school, even in the state at the time. Now, I'm sure other ones have gotten certified with it now, but at the time, it was kind of new, and so I remember staying up sometimes, like we were church kids. So there would be times, even on a school night, but Tuesday Bible study, you know, started at 7 o'clock. You wouldn't get out of here till 10 o'clock. Now I got to get home, get back into my studies, finish the work I didn't finish, go to bed till like 2 a.m. And I would get up again at 5, get ready for school, and then finish the last bit of work before I went into school just to get it done. That's with study halls doing my work. Like I was always doing my work. There was never a time my head wasn't in the books. Outside of me going to church, I probably was in those books. And so I remember the anxiety that I felt just doing that. I remember the anxiety I felt when I was taking tests. I didn't realize what anxiety was because, again, that back in that time, nobody talked about it. So how is your mental health? How can you apply some of these changes and how can you get through it? It was like, I've really got to take the time to calm down and assess the situation. I gotta let my feelings just go to, so I'm not telling you to turn it off forever, but just put it off to the side just for 5 seconds. Just for 5 seconds so you can assess, is this a real thing or is this something that I'm experiencing that I may need to bring it back? And that's what I ended up having to do. So I'm encouraging every last one of us to recognize what our triggers are, what makes us have those moments, and what are we doing long term to fix it, and what are we doing short term. One of my friends was saying that she was going through. Now, first thing I asked her is like, what are you doing to take care of yourself? Because she, you know, she had lost a family member. What are you doing to take care of yourself? First thing she said was, I'm fine. I'm quite sure she's not. Even a year later, she's not. I'm 100% sure she's not. But her response was, I'm fine. Now, eventually, I believe in my heart of hearts that she will be fine. But I don't think that she's there yet. So then we started talking about therapy, and she thankfully is doing some of that, getting some therapy and handling all those things. But the question was, what are you doing short term? Short term is working on my breathing, taking a step back, writing down my feelings, maybe journaling them out, writing the pros, the cons, and where we meet in the middle. Those are short-term things that you can do. Those are immediate things that you can do to try to get past the initial hit of what the symptoms of anxiety is bringing to you. Then there's the long-term. You can't be reactive all the time. So how can we practice being less reactive? That's a long-term situation that you can do to help with your anxiety. Or maybe like I am, working with the therapist. Also, don't discount group therapy. Let me tell you how group therapy works. You can either call it group therapy. You can call it group sessions. You can call it whatever you choose. And I've done those. There are some beautiful ones that are online where you go into app. One I use is Circles. And with Circles, you go into this app. They have different leaders that are having this conversation. These are licensed professionals. And let's say you're saying, okay, I'm dealing with the anxiety of dating. Well, you go in there and you'll see that there's a person that has a topic. They'll tell you what time they're meeting. They're meeting at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You can put your headphones on. You could be at work. I've done these. I have done them the same, working and all those things. You can be at work. You can put on this thing, you know, these conversations where you have a licensed professional leading it, and you don't have to show your face. Your face never comes on this app whatsoever. And you're listening to the professionals. Now, if you want to chime in, you can use your voice to chime in, or you can just text in the text box. But it is group. It's almost like a group therapy. And in the midst of this, these are some tools that you can use this long term. Mental health is something that we all do. If you can have as maybe a small or a limited amount, or you could be dealing with larger situations or more overwhelming situations, but whatever the case may be, what's your short-term goals with dealing with your mental health when it comes to those anxiety, when it comes to feeling depressed? You know, depression sometimes can sneak up on you. In my darkest times when depression has come, I felt like I was, you know, on point. Everything in my life was lined up. Consecrated, never missed a beat. Being a mom, never missed a beat. Was very present with my husband, didn't miss a beat, or at least I felt like I was present. But with depression, it's one of those things where it's like one day you go to do something, and this one thing you absolutely love. I mean, if you didn't even have to get a paycheck for it, you loved it so much you would do it every single day for free. That's how you know if you love something, FYI. Okay. And then all of a sudden, you just start to feel like every little day, it just gets harder and harder to concentrate. Your sleep is becoming erratic. Your anger, your emotions are just all over the place. You find like you're more irritable. You know, you're lacking sleep. So now you're miserable. You got all the different things going on. And then you're like, I don't know what's wrong. And it could just be simple as depression, even though depression really is not that simple, because it comes in so many different layerings. It looks differently for every last person. This is what I'm talking about when we start to learn ourselves. What makes us tick? What makes us smile? What are the things that we're working on? What are we working towards? All of these things combined, it's like when our powers combine, Captain Planet. Yes, I'm revealing my age, but nonetheless, these are some short-term and long-term ways of determining how you're truly, 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 truly feeling. And with those feelings, what we're going to do for solution. These next 4 years, again, we have barely made it through week one. These 4 years are going to be a strain. All I know is that you need to get around the family and the friends that you love and bring in the resources, because we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know what could happen. We don't know what's out there. The only thing that we can do is bind ourselves together, be in community with one another, and fight the good fight. Help somebody else. Like, I'm hoping that this episode helps somebody else that may have been feeling all the things and couldn't formulate the fact that, hey, yeah, this is anxiety. I didn't realize that's what that was. Or, you know what? I am dealing with depression. Or I have a gamut of other things that's kind of combining. I really don't know which way to go, but let me take my short-term and long-term list and discover what it is that I can do to get a solution. Here's another little tidbit that a lot of people don't realize. You might not say, oh, I don't have a psychotherapy or a psychotherapist on speed dial, but what you can do is make an appointment with your doctor, talk to your doctor about the ways that you're feeling, be honest with your doctor, and then let them get you the resources that you need to take the second step. It's the small things that bring about the larger things. You don't have to be ashamed. I know that's easier said than done, because shame around mental health, about any disease, child, you can add disease of the belly button and somebody will come be ready to shame you for anything. Disease of your ear, they ready to do something. They telling all your business. Listen, I 100% get that. But how we respond, the things that we do, the people that we're around. Listen, this is not the season to carry loads of the foolishness of people who don't have no goodwill towards you, because we're literally fighting for our lives out here in these internet streets and this real world, that you don't have time for this extra stuff. You know what? One thing it is that this may make you buckle down and really take care of some of this little extra weight that we carry on us. And I ain't talking about the little fupa and the extra weight we carrying in our on our bellies and on our backs and on our legs and arms. I'm talking about the extra weight of people. Because this ain't, we don't got time. Like, you know, we ain't got time for that. We don't have time for that. We really have got to discover what it is that is going to make us become better individuals, whole individuals, so some of our triggers don't overtake us. That's the difference between people, when people call people crazy. That's the difference. And any of us is one fruit loop away from that. I hate when people use the word like, oh, that girl's crazy. First of all, you don't even know what real crazy looks like until you've gone it. That's number one. Number two, going crazy just means that at some point you were experiencing a bunch of social, you know, so not social media, but a bunch of emotions that became overwhelmed. You had different levels of things, whether it was anxiety, depression, and you were not able to control it. You were no longer able to mind it. You were no longer able to disguise it. And then you revealed it to the point where now other people are fully aware, and now you need the assistance to level you out. That's really what being crazy is. So that's why I despise people like, well, she's so crazy. She may not be as crazy as you think. What you might call somebody else's crazy, it could actually just mean that they're just struggling and you're just seeing the manifestation of that. And what's beautiful is that a lot of people judge and point their fingers and they're like, oh my gosh, she's so crazy. You can't trust her. She always doing something. She's crazy. They could just be experiencing their own mental health break. You know, there are psychosis of different levels of mental health. I had was it pregnancy psychosis? Yes. Now, it didn't cause me to hurt my children or even desire it, but it was causing other rages, like fits of rage in different areas. Please understand what crazy means. Please understand what it means when you're battling a mental health in the midst of all these changes. Because for me, I'm gonna be honest, one of the triggers for me is change. When you change things up too quickly for me and I'm not able to grasp that, I don't feel like I'm being a part of that change, I'm gonna flip. I'm gonna exhibit what signs that people think is, oh, she not right, oh, she not together, that I'm going to exhibit that, because sometimes for me, I'm working through that with my therapist to get to the point where stuff doesn't get to me so much where I'm reactive. I don't want to be reactive because I don't need to necessarily be reactive. And that's why I love to have the therapist that I have, that I can feel comfortable saying, listen, this week was weekend and it was making me feel like I was weak. So these next 4 years are coming with challenges straight from the gate. By the time of this recording, there's probably going to be 10 to 20 more other executive orders that have gone down, other declarations that have gone down. And no matter how many comes or how many goes and how many judges block some and how many judges don't block another, what we can't do is spend our time arguing, fussing, and fighting. I'm not arguing with nobody. I'm going to make a statement. You're going to make a statement, and we just going to see who's going to be the realness after everything is said and done. I'm not arguing with people no more. I used to be a professional arguer. I could argue down and there ain't going to be nobody beating me out in no argument. I'd rather be loud and wrong before I let you beat me in no argument. I'm going to articulate it, get through that argument if I'm wrong, but I ain't going to let you beat me on that argument. But in the same token, we really got to figure this out. We really got to take care of ourselves. We really can't just be forcing ourselves to kind of just going along and not being honest and real about, hey, these emotions are a little overwhelming. I don't think I had the skills today to do that. What can I do to fix this? What is my go-to? How do I calm myself down when I feel like calming down is like the last thing I want to do? So I had so many things on the other paper that I wanted to talk about. I was going to talk about Valentine's Day and I was going to talk about this different things, but I think this is where I want to end this episode because I feel like this has more value. We will talk about Valentine's Day. And if you're thinking we're going to talk about Valentine's Day to talk about love and all that other stuff, no, no, no. We're going to talk about the mental health that happens when you're talking about Valentine's Day. I know that this day is just a man-made day, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are a million people. Let me just break this down to you. We're just going to talk real quick about this and we're going to run up out of here because we're going to be done. We're not going to be here all day. Got things to do. We got prayers to be prayed, scriptures to be read. Valentine's Day is a touchy day. let me break this down to you. There's so many reasons as to why. You only think about the single people. Oh, single people don't have nobody. They want someone. I'm sure they are. I'm sure they do. But the mental health of that is far greater. Some people really struggle on Valentine's Day because they're at work. They're on a team, especially if they're women. They're on a team. They're seeing all these flowers coming in the door. Flowers, candies, gifts, all kinds of stuff. Husbands picking people up from work, picking them up for lunch, bringing them stuff. All these lovey-dovey things, right? And as a single person, not that I'm single, I'm saying as a single person, I remember my single days. I would be working at my job. I would see all these things happening and you're just like, okay, I'm single again. You know, it's all good. You know, I love myself. It's all good. But reality is you can still love yourself. You can still desire to want to be with somebody. And so those days make it harder. You know you're going to get through them. You know without a doubt, February the 15th is going to come. If 14th came, then Lord's will, the 15th will. And when the 15th comes, you'll be a little bit better than you were on the 14th. But it's that mental anguish leading up to the day and then the day. It can be hard. There's another level of people who deal and struggle with on Valentine's Day. You got people who have divorced and or are widows who maybe their spouses used to do Valentine's Day up. I mean, they would be out here showing off and now that is gone. The void of that is hard. Then you have the folks that are married and they tell their significant other, I don't want anything. No, I'm good. We don't do that. We're all good. And secretly they do. And they take that person through every year because they tell each other, oh, it's the right thing to say. I really don't want anything. But in actuality, they do. In actuality, they do. So now they done brought everybody down. Everybody's got to go through stuff because they couldn't be honest. And then you have the couples that never said to their spouse that they didn't want anything. They just know their spouse won't do anything. And that's even worse because it's like, I got somebody in here that's supposed to be loving on me. And they don't even love me to look at me for 5 seconds, let alone go get a grocery store flower. I'm not even worth a grocery store flower. When's the last time this man ain't woman and never bought me nothing? Ain't bought me a card in a month of Sundays. He ain't never expressed how much they cared about me, how much they appreciate about me. These are real life things that are going on. So we're going to talk about that. Maybe not this week, but definitely by next week or week after, hopefully with all this stuff happening, we're going to try to squeeze it in there because these are real life things. Folks are struggling out here in these streets. And just because you got some thighs and some stuff rubbing up against you every day, trust and believe somebody else wants your portion. The husband you say you can't stand, the one you say, oh my gosh, I wish he would go away. I know of a woman right now, somebody in my family that just lost her husband. Just lost her husband. So while you're sitting there saying, oh, well, you know, my husband, he gets on my nerves. Mine's getting on my nerves too, baby. Mine's getting on my nerves too. My dad gets on my mama's nerves and my mama gets on my dad's nerves and I get on my husband's nerves. We all getting on each other's nerves. But at the end of the day, somebody wants your portion. Somebody will be like, God, if you give me a husband, I'll treat him right. God, if you would just give me a mate, give me somebody that's going to help me, somebody that's going to love me, I would love them unconditionally. But we, the comfortable ones who already have those things, we forget. Again, one somebody that I know very well has lost their husband today. That husband is not here. She's going to wake up tomorrow and think that this, pray that this was was a part of a sick joke or that this isn't true and will wake up to that person not being there physically. But we're going to talk about that again. I guess next week or the week after. I want you to have the most amazing week. Listen, these executive orders is coming in hot. They're coming in hot, real hot, hot like hell. They're going to do some real damage to a lot of families. They're going to break up some homes. They're going to cause a lot of things to go left. And there's going to be some people caught in a crossfire that never signed up for none of that. But I really want you to find something joyful for you to do this weekend. One activity. I'm not asking you to fill your whole weekend up, although I wish you could. I wish you would fill your whole weekend up with all the good things. But if you can't, find one thing that you love, that you will be joyful of, that will put one baby smile on your face. You are worthy of that. You are worthy of that. You're worthy of much more. FYI, you just don't know it. But you're definitely worthy of doing one activity that makes you smile. Please do that this weekend. Please do that this weekend. Today is National Compliment Day. And what better compliment than for me to tell you that you are well deserving of the life you seek and the work you're willing to put in. don't just give other people compliments, because I love when I see women giving each other compliments. I love when I see men saying, you're doing a good job, I believe in you. I love seeing that. Give someone else a compliment, but don't forget to look in the mirror and compliment yourself. You are that girl. You're that dude. You've been putting in work. You've been sitting on the sidelines for years. You are worthy. Today is National Compliment Day. Pay yourself a compliment and then pay someone else a compliment too. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. This is episode number 2 of season 12, and I will see you next week.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.